there, it's Julie for Dobbs. Since 1976, drivers have counted on us for bumper-to-bumper tire and auto service. And Dobbs now has more than 40 locations. One's probably close to you. Come see us today.
For deals you can use, click on gotodobbs.com now.
It's time for the Rutherford Report on 101 ESPN.
Anything you folks want to know about the fascinating world of pro hockey, here we go.
Let's talk a little Blues hockey with our guy Jeremy Rutherford of The Athletic with Jamie Rivers and Anthony Stalter. And before we dive into the Blues, JR, let's talk about the former Blues that are going to be playing this weekend in the Stanley Cup Final. Game one on Saturday right here on 101 ESPN. Alex Petrangelo, Ivan Barbashev, of course, on Vegas's side. And while not a former Blue, a St. Louis product, of course, in Matthew Tkachuk. How do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, this looks like, even though probably not the two teams that everybody envisioned, looks like it could be a really great series. You got the hot team with the Florida Panthers, and you guys, everybody's been asking, you know, who do you pick in this series? And, you know, you go back to the last series, and, you know, the thing that you keep hearing from people, I remember hearing Darren Pang and Chris Kerber say this exact thing on 101, is that how do you go against a team that's so hot like the Florida Panthers? Even though you have a very strong-minded defensive team in the Vegas Golden Knights, and maybe they win the Stanley Cup. But just like the 2019 Blues, how do you pick against a hot team like Florida?
JR, when you look at these two teams right now, what are the keys to victory for each team? You know, what does Florida have to do to be successful? And what do the Vegas Golden Knights as a team either have to do to defend Florida or to create their own success?
Yeah, a couple things here, Riv. And first of all, I'll get a little cliche on you to start out, and that's the rust with Florida. So they only had a couple days rest earlier in the playoffs after a couple of these series, but they're going to have 10 full days. You know, how do they react to that? I heard Matthew Tkachuk on TNT, and he was talking about they're going to need the rest, and this is going to help them out. But let's see how they come out after
rest is a weapon, JR.
Yeah. So let's see. But to me, for the Panthers to win this Stanley Cup and to be successful, they've just got to keep doing what they've been doing, which I know it's simple, but that's been their game the entire time. And, yeah, Matthew Tkachuk has bailed them out of a few overtimes. Bobrovsky's kept them in every single game just about. But I think for them it's just to get in on that forecheck, be successful, and keep counting on these guys who've been playing well. And then for Vegas, it's that defense. They've got the better defense out of these two. That can win you a Stanley Cup. The goalie, Aiden Hill, you know, he's not the guy at the beginning of the season that you thought would be in net for these guys trying to win him a Stanley Cup, but he is, and he's playing well. And behind a good defense, I think that's going to be their bread and butter.
Jeremy Rutherford joining us right now in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. JR, for the Blues now, you penned a piece for The Athletic. I know you worked with one of your co-workers, too, from The Athletic, about the Blues defense and some trade options and assessing some of the possibilities for guys like Colton Parayko, Torrey Krug, Nick Leddy, and Marco Scandella if the Blues were able to move those guys. When you walked through this exercise, what was one of the things that really stood out to you?
Yeah, that it's going to be tough. It really is. And I hope that we conveyed that in the story, because we scoured kind of which team could use any or one of these guys. And it's tough when you look at salary cap, when you look at who some of these teams have in place, when you consider the contract term left on some of these deals, which we've talked a lot about with a Torrey Krug, with a Parayko, with a Leddy, and then you start talking about the no-trade clauses. I mean, everybody, including the media, myself, we write the articles about, well, he needs to trade one of these defensemen. It's the only way you come out of this summer with as it being a good summer is if he can unload one of these defensive contracts. But when you stare at the computer screen and you look at team to team and what they need, sure, there's teams out there, as Jamie said before, that'll take a Colton Parayko off your hands. I get it. But who are you going to replace him for? So does that make sense for St. Louis? I think the biggest takeaway was how tough it is for Doug Armstrong with this flat cap to make that move.
JR, watching the World Championships, we'll get into Team Canada in a second where three Blues players as well as Doug Armstrong end up winning the gold medal. But I want to start with Team USA. We're talking about the defensive core for the Blues. Scott Perunovic had a pretty good world championship. How does he find his way into this lineup? Because I don't see him as a bottom pair defenseman. I think he has to play almost top 4 minutes to be a guy that plays here regularly. How does he find his way into the lineup with such a crowded dance floor?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I think the situation's this with Scott Perunovic. First of all, he had at the World Championships, he played 10 games, and that was the biggest thing. I saw a lot of people commenting on the fact that, you know, he played the whole tournament. You know, people obviously are going to hammer him on the injuries. He's had three of them. He's been a tough time staying healthy. But he did this tournament, had the goal, and I think 6 or 7 assists, so he put up some decent points. But in terms of him trying to find a spot, I think he's going to have to get back on the ice, even at the start, if it's a third-pair situation, you know, prove he can play a stretch of games, prove he can be healthy and he can do what he did when we saw him in limited action, and then climb his way into that top four. If it means that, you know, a Nick Leddy or a Torrey Krug comes down to that third pair because Perunovic is playing really well, then so be it. Or if everybody's playing well, you know, maybe you got a trade asset there. But in terms of Scott Perunovic, I just try not to put things ahead of themselves, even though he's looking pretty good and playing pretty well at the World Championships. He's got to get out there and still show it, I think.
Well, another guy that, you know, needed to be healthy in order to kind of reboot his career was Sammy Blais. We know the injury history with the Rangers, and then he wasn't being played very much, comes to the Blues, has a great, great post-trade display offensively and physically for the Blues. To me, it was a bit of a surprise pick by Team Canada to take Sammy Blais. Obviously, Doug Armstrong knows the player well. But, man, he had himself a hell of a tournament. I mean, what can we realistically expect from Sammy Blais now moving into next season?
Yeah, 6 goals, 2, I think, in the championship game, player of the game in the championship game. Obviously, Doug Armstrong, when he was putting together the roster, Sammy Blais is the guy. He wanted to get some games, some meaningful games. Even though, you know, we're not talking Stanley Cup here, it's still competitive. It's still a lengthy tournament, and you're playing with good players. So for Sammy Blais to put up the production he did, I think he was tied for the team lead in goals. Really good. So I go back and look at the stretch of games he played for the Blues after the trade, and it just seems like the knee's getting better. He's feeling more confident. And I don't think that it's a surprise to any Blues fan that he mixes the skill and kind of the grit. And I think that's why Doug wanted to bring him back for next year. And, you know, Riv, I think you'd have to go through the entire NHL, and maybe I'm just, you know, looking too focused on the St. Louis here, to find a better contract for next season. $1 million for Sammy Blais. Whether he's in your top six filling in, whether he's a fixture on that third line or whether he's playing the fourth line, that's a steal for next year.
JR, finally, I know that the draft is approaching and you've been asked this question a lot, but just to kind of refresh, maybe there's a different thought process here, maybe not. But when you look at the three picks that the Blues have in the first round, how aggressive could the Blues be?
Well, I think they could be aggressive. It's interesting. We did an Athletic mock draft today. It's not published yet, but behind the scenes, we had the picks, and it hasn't gotten to number 10, so I haven't selected yet. But Montreal's at number 5, and the writer who covers Montreal, my colleague, he offered to move up. Who wants to move up to number 5? I didn't do it. He wanted Zachary Bolduc to throw in the deal and give him the number 10 to climb up and get number 5. I don't know if you guys would have done that. Would Doug Armstrong do that? I think a lot of fans would be excited if he would have done that, to jump up and get the Russian Matvei Mikhov. So we'll see what he does. I think they're going to be aggressive with that first pick and maybe likely take it at number 10, but if they can move up, it's possible. If not, you got the 2 later round selections that you can use as kind of the juice. And if not, Doug Armstrong said a couple weeks ago, you can flip those 2 first round picks into a handful of second round picks. So we'll see what happens.
JR, great stuff as always. At JP Rutherford on Twitter. Give Jeremy Rutherford a follow. He's our Blues Insider with The Athletic. We appreciate you, JR. Have a good rest of your week. We'll check back with you next week.
You guys too. Thanks a lot.